Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Good morning, friends. My name's Tom. Good morning, first three rows. Good morning, everyone else. It's good to see you all. If you're a teacher, anyone here a teacher? Put up your hand. Can I say, well done. This is a long term, isn't it? Yeah, it's 11 weeks for some schools. Also, big well done to those who serve in kids' churches as a volunteer or helper or leader. Term two is a long one, so good on you. Who here knows optical illusions? Put up your hand, everyone. Thank you. Yes, you do. All right. It's those images where you are looking, well, you think you're looking at one thing, but actually it could be something completely different. Let me show you a couple of examples. By the way, I am the next gen pastor, and that means you all here from now on have permission to engage with me as I talk. Yeah, cool that. All right, what do you see here? A rabbit, but a duck. Yeah. All right, next one. Look at this. What do you see? A lady, young lady, old lady, senior lady. Okay. All right. How about this one? What's this? Dogs? Or what? Someone said a man. Yeah? This is a bit odd, isn't it? So what is that? It's a man? It's actually a dog. It's a poodle. That little fluffy poppy thing is its tail. Ah, there's the aha moment. All right. Yeah. Okay, got you all. There you go. So sometimes you're looking at one thing, but it's actually something different. I wonder if that's what's going on in the story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 8. Because in Luke's gospel, Jesus has got quite a huge following. Jesus is attracting a massive crowd, so much so that when you read the parable of the sower in Matthew's gospel, the crowd is so big that they're on a beach, and Jesus, so that he can speak to them all, he needs to get on a boat just to address the massive crowd. And then Jesus, he speaks to them a parable. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But the question is, as we read this parable, the question is, why would Jesus speak in parables? Because to the crowd, and perhaps as you heard it read out, it seems like Jesus is giving farming advice. And we are not sure if this advice is one thing or if it's something actually different. And it seems that as this is the first time, it seems that this speech that Jesus has given is actually not clear. Does that mean that Jesus is not clear? I reckon Jesus here is purposely being unclear. Jesus says the key to understanding this parable is to know the secret of the kingdom of God. Because if you understand the secret of the kingdom, then you can make sense of God, you can make sense of you can make sense of your life, your eternity, and everything in between. And Jesus says the secret has been given to you, to his followers, to those that believe in him. They are given the secret. And what is the secret? It is that Jesus is the King. And when you understand that Jesus is the King, you understand that your identity, your purpose, your belonging, your identity, when you understand that it's all found in Jesus, then you can start to make sense of everything else. And Jesus says the secret, it has been given to you, the disciples, but to everyone else, it is said in parables. In other words, Jesus does not want to be understood by everyone. It's a bit odd. In other words, he wants some to understand and he wants some to not understand. Jesus wants to reveal division. Because God's King has come to God's people and their response reveals their attitude to God. And so those who couldn't care less, who are not interested in who Jesus is, are not the ones who are going to lean in and ask questions. But those who want to sit at his feet and be a disciple are going to ask a specific question. Jesus, can you just tell me what it means? And in this way, Jesus speaking in parables, I reckon it's quite brilliant, because it's both an expression of God's judgment against hard-hearted people who want nothing to do with Jesus, but also an opportunity for his disciples to listen to Jesus. That is why Jesus spoke in parables. And as you may have noticed, he tells the crowd some farming advice, but it's the disciples who lean in and they ask a question. What does it mean? And so here's the second thing. What is the meaning of the parable? Well, then there are four soils which Jesus then explains. And let me go through them. You have the first soil, the soil on the path. You know how when you talk to others about Jesus, and almost instantaneously you receive an instantaneous rejection? Can anyone relate with that? Yeah. That is, I'm too busy. I don't want to change my life. Oh, who would believe in an old book? See, the devil uses those reasons so that people may never believe. Have a look at verse 12. Have your Bibles open? That's a great thing to do. Luke 8, verse 12 says this. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Now you get to the second soil. This is the example of those who profess the faith for a short time, but sadly there's no root. There is nothing deep. The honeymoon is over and Christianity becomes hard. And what do? They just say, you know what? It's all just too tough. I give up. Or sadly, they give up because they're in an unhelpful relationship. Look at verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing, fall away. The third soil, seed among thorns. This one is different. It's got the soil. It grows for a bit. But as it grows, it's choked by other things in life and there's no fruit. Look at verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way. They are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life and their fruit does not mature. And then you get to the fourth soil, the good soil. It's those who love Jesus and they bear fruit. What is that fruit? You could think it's the fruit of the Spirit, but I reckon it's actually something a bit more broader. I reckon it's the fruit of godliness, of being godly. And I reckon it's someone also who shares the good news with others, seeing others know Jesus and helping that person to bear fruit in Jesus too. Verse 15, have a look at this. As for that in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Now, as you read about the fourth soil, you probably would have heard echoes of Proverbs chapter 4, which Graham read out before, but also Psalm chapter 1. Have a look at this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. See, the fourth soil does not mean an absence of testing. It doesn't mean an absence of temptation. It's actually quite the opposite. Because the more someone follows Jesus, testing and temptation become harder. But the difference in the fourth soil is that they've come to have their life shaped by God's word so that they know how to handle testing and temptation, and they know how to be fruitful whatever the circumstances. And they've learned how to cut stuff off from their life so that they can bear fruit. That's the fourth soil. Here's the thing. How do we apply the parable of the sower? In the first sense, I think this has got to do with mission. Because in one chapter's time, Jesus is about to send the disciples to all the surrounding towns and proclaim the good news. And so for those disciples, it was about setting expectations. Sharing the good news is not going to be some unstoppable military force where everyone becomes a Christian wherever they hear about Jesus. He's saying it's not going to be like that. There are going to be different responses. So it's about getting them ready and us ready, because there will be heartache. There will be times in which you grieve, and there will be people in which you rejoice with forever. And so that's mission. But this parable also applies to the church. Because reading the parable of the sower, you can't help but remember those who are soil number two. Those who were with Jesus for a bit, but they got tested by the world and they gave up on Jesus. For my wife and I, by the way, lovely Des, Raya, over there, there are lots of people who we used to know who were with Jesus, but now are no longer in the Lord. Hands up if you can relate to that. Yeah? Should be lots of us. Most of us know soil number two people. But the interesting thing about the second soil is no one who becomes a Christian makes a declaration of, I'm going to be the second soil. No one does that. It's not an instantaneous decision. It happens slowly over time. But most of you also know those who are soil number three people. Because in a similar idea, no one who becomes a Christian says, now that I'm saved, I'm going to be lukewarm. No, I'm going to put these other things in my life and purposely choke my faith. See, it's not quick. Rather, it happens slowly over time, because maybe for some people, here's a couple of reasons why it might happen. Maybe it might be that we get so focused on our careers that it consumes all of our time and energy, and that we neglect our habits of prayer and reading scripture. We pay off church on Sundays. We pay off point groups. Or maybe for other people, it might be that we've transitioned from one stage of life into the next. And so we weren't prepared for what's coming next. And so the godly rhythms and practices that were meant to be established right here, they weren't grounded and they weren't rooted in the ground. And so when change happened, so did our commitment to Jesus. Or can it be that sport got in the way? Now, as the next gen pastor, I want to say to you that sport is a good thing. I love my sport. I've played sport, many sports over the years. It's created in me much character, resilience, and friendship. As a kid and teenager, I had many extracurricular activities. I've had jobs, but none of it got in the way of church or my commitment to Jesus. I get concerned when I hear a parent say, when the sporting season is over, then we're going to go to church. Then we get serious until the next sporting season comes back. I'm not sure why this happens. Maybe it's a cultural thing. Maybe family thinks it's okay because that's what families do. But here's an Aussie reality for Christian young people. I wonder what percentage of Christians don't remain with Jesus after they finish school. I wonder if we were to get 100 Aussie Christian teens, what percentage would walk away from Jesus after school? Here's the reality. 36%. I wonder what you make of that. It's devastating news. If you're a teenager, parent, or leader in kids and youth ministry, how do you feel about that? That's one in three. I have three brothers. Two of them no longer follow Jesus. The youth ministry I grew up in, many are no longer in Christ. Now that 36% comes from a number of causes, and I don't have the time to explain them today, but you can come and ask me questions later if you want to. But the central issue has all got to do with how they respond to God's word. Because whether someone is young or not, the common response that I hear is, you know what, I'll just get to it later. But think about it. When has tomorrow been less hectic than today? The future is always more fuller than the past. Now, as we apply this parable for the church, it does mean a couple of things. It means we should be concerned. It means we should be encouraging. It means we need to do this as a team, and we need to be wise about how we do it. But as you've been thinking about this parable, you've probably had your ear probably tuned in and thinking, this has not just got to do with mission, it's not just got to do with the church, it's got to do with you. Because the key takeaway of Luke 8 is not go and read God's word. It is not go to church. That's not it. But though they're good things. The key takeaway of Luke 8 is be devoted to God's word. Be devoted to his word. And the challenge, and that means that the challenge now is how you're going to keep being devoted to the word of God, even in testing, even when other priorities start to spring up. Because whatever phase of life you are in now, that is what is going to keep you going for the next. And so your devotion to his word is what is going to keep you going during trials and temptations. Your devotion now is what is going to keep you going for the next 20 or 30 years. And so if you are someone who considers yourself the fourth soil people, I want to give you a bit of encouragement. I want to remind you that you are on the narrow path. You are on the right path, and that you've found a specific type of joy which nothing else on earth can give you. And so can I encourage you today to keep bearing fruit in yourself and in other people's lives? But also, can I encourage you to be alert to the contemporary warnings which might take away your devotion to God? But finally, for everyone else, here's what I want us to do. Something that we don't generally do on a Sunday, but I want to give you 60 seconds to just write down or note down one thing, one change that you're going to make in your life, one big difference. Because some Sundays you might walk in and out of church, none the wiser. But I think a simple reading of this parable won't let those who truly hear this passage do that kind of response. Now, I'm going to give you 60 seconds to come up with one change that you want to make in your life, because this parable is asking you, which soil are you? And which one do you want to be? And you've got to put something into practice in your life. And maybe it might be the attitude of being humble and devoted to point group and keen to read God's word. Maybe you might be someone who doesn't know how to read God's word, and so you need to ask someone to show me. Maybe you don't know where to start, and so you need a Bible reading method and that helps me read the Bible as one big story. Maybe I need to change my job. Maybe I need to address a relationship or sport. Maybe I need to stop doom scrolling and go eat my daily bread. Maybe I need to sign up to a point group or start doing one-to-one with someone. But whatever it is, Luke 8 is not about Jesus being unclear. It's not about the speaker. It's about the hearer. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. And so what I want us to do is, let's just spend 60 seconds, just write down one thing, one different thing, maybe on a phone or on a note. Let's make one big change in your life. Let's spend 60 seconds. Let's do that. That's probably the fastest minute for some of you in your life. But the parable of the sower, yes, it's about the four soils. Yes, it's pointing to Jesus being the king and is giving expectations of the kingdom. But more than that, Jesus tells this parable about the four soil because he's asking you two questions. Which one are you? Which one do you want to be? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have revealed to us the secret of the kingdom, that Jesus is the king. And so, Father, help us to be ready for the different responses of the world to your son. Help us to be lovingly concerned and encouraging for each other. But also, Father, help us to be devoted to your word, because at the heart of your word is your son, our king, in whom is our forgiveness, our life, our purpose, and our eternity. And so, Father, help us today to make one big change in our lives so that we can bear fruit for the King. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.